Thank you so much. I love doing these topics. They're exciting, and I want you all to be excited too, because the Bible talks a lot about our eternal salvation. Now, this is somewhat of a controversial topic in the Christian community. I don't understand why. I wanted to go through some of the verses that they would use that you can lose your salvation, but I barely have time to cover the ones that I'm going to do today, so that could be for another time, or if you want to talk about it with me, I can take the time and go through some of those verses. But today I just want to go through the verses where the Bible clearly speaks about once you're saved forever. Now, words that I want you to pay attention to is words such as eternal, shall, hath. These are words, or never perish. These are words that I've said this before. The Bible's written in such a beautiful way that these words they just come out at you. And it's written in a way, it's perfectly written. And we oftentimes should pay really close attention to how the sentences and how the words and why the words are there. Okay? So I have quite a bit of verses to get to. If you can't keep up, they are going to be on screen, because Harvey is really good at staying ahead. So how many religions are there in the world? There's basically two. There's Cain and Abel. Okay? One did works, and the other, what did he do? A sacrifice, right? Most of the religions, if not all except Christianity, is about works. Me coming from Catholicism, it's 100% about works. The only thing is they don't know how much works it takes to get to heaven. So they're always working, right? Many religions are like that. There's no assurance. There's no eternal security there according to what they believe. So my question here, and it's interesting that Pastor Tricky was in his sermon, it made me think of a couple of things. Unfaithful followers. Really interesting. So if you're an unfaithful follower, can you lose your salvation? Do you think God would reject you in any way, shape, or form? The first verse we're going to take a look at is a very popular one, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. And it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, I can stop right here, and it's done. You're saved, okay? It's not of us. The only thing I had to do with my salvation is I was a sinner, right? God did everything. Jesus Christ did everything on the cross. He paid the fine that I couldn't pay. What did you contribute to your salvation? Like, exactly, right? So how can we think of this for a second? How can we contribute to lose our salvation if we didn't? How do you lose something you didn't deserve? Okay, so how do you lose something you never deserved, something given to you as a gift? How do you lose that? It's a gift, and we'll see some verses that talk about that. It is a gift. When somebody gives you a gift, you can accept it or deny it, but it's still given. It's there. It's for you. Okay. The next verse we're going to take a look at is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Sounds pretty good. So, Pastor Tricky, what was your father's name?
David
Tricky. And you had nothing to do with your birth, right? You had nothing. It was all your parents. And there was nothing you can do to not be the son of your father, right? So why would it be any different for us if we're the son or daughter of God? Wouldn't his family be more secure than our earthly family? And that's something I don't understand when they say, well, you can lose your salvation if you do this, that, and the other. Well, then how do we know what type of sin or how many sin it's going to take for us to lose our salvation? And we don't have blessed assurance, do we? Because now we have to work to keep our salvation. There's no works to get salvation, but you have to work to keep salvation. It doesn't make sense. And the Bible doesn't say that. If we can lose our salvation, what is the difference between us and other religions? There is no difference. And that's something that stuck out at me. All the other religions are work-based. We're not. But if people believe we can lose our salvation, then we are work-based because I have to work to keep my salvation. I have to do good. If you are not saved by works, why then can you lose your salvation? Through works. Do we obey God so we don't lose our salvation? So oftentimes, and there's a lot of people, famous Christian apologists or Christian, not preachers, but just figures, right? And they say, well, yeah, you can lose your salvation. I don't understand sometimes why they say that, but they don't talk about themselves. So did you lose your salvation? I actually seen a debate the other day, and this was terrifying. It was two Christians, and they were talking about if you can sin. Sin. The longest I've ever gone without sin was 8 hours, and then I woke up. So the one position was you cannot sin. They were both saved. They both claimed to be saved. But the one gentleman was saying, we can't sin. Really? Because the Bible says otherwise. And if you can't sin, then best thing to do is to run from somebody who thinks like that. Of course we sin. Okay? But there's a difference once you're saved. In John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 12. By the which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And for how many times did Jesus die on the cross? Once. Okay, so if you can lose your salvation, what's going to happen? He's got to die again? No. It says he died once for all. Right? In verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever once, sat down on the right hand of God. These are familiar verses here. The Romans road, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. Okay? It's not something that we deserve. It's something that's given to us. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, that's present tense, be saved. Present, not future, not shall be saved until you sin again, or shall be saved, this, that, or the other, shall be saved. I wasn't a really bad kid growing up, but I didn't follow my parents' rules. I remember Thanksgiving, I don't know why I landed on Thanksgiving, but I would leave the house without permission. Why? Because I was afraid my parents were going to say no, so I would go. And I would go, and I would go play basketball or this or that. And my parents got worried one time, and they almost called the cops. I was pretty afraid when that happened. But no matter how angry my parents got with me, I was still their son. No matter what, there's nothing that I can or they can do to change that. I will always be their son. In God's family, it is more secure. You will always be God's child. Now, he might have to have a talk with you, or he might have to get your attention somehow, like Jonah, but he's still always going to be your father. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now we're going to jump to Acts 2:21, and we're going to go Acts 15 and Acts 2. Now, it keeps saying the same word here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we believe, Acts 15:11. But we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you think he's trying to tell us something here? Shall be saved. Okay? And the reason I'm doing this is, the last one I did is Jesus is God is something that you would use if you're talking to a non-believer. I think this is a topic within the family, with other brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Some are saved, but they believe you can lose it. But then you ask them, how about yours? Did you lose yours? I mean, it's easy to point the finger saying you do this, do that, you lose your salvation. But what about the person that believes that? Can they lose their salvation? So what's the secret? How do you not lose your salvation, right? Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered, once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you can lose your salvation, wouldn't you thirst or hunger for salvation again? You absolutely would. But that's not what it's saying here. It's saying never. Never is never. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Now this one, the jailer asking Paul and Silas about salvation. What do I do? Okay. Acts 16, verse 30 and 31. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. There is no, he's asking, if somebody asks us, what do I need to be saved? We give the same answer. He didn't say be saved and get baptized. He didn't say get saved, keep all the commandments, give to the poor, do this, do that. He didn't say that, okay? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let's be honest, there are bad Christians. There are good Christians. That's the truth. You could be a terrible son and you could be a terrible daughter. In your earthly family, it's the same in God's family, but that's God to take that up with them, right? 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay. John 6:39-40. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. As many verses I'm going to share with you today, and there's quite a bit, there's still more. The Bible is absolutely crystal clear about this. All the verses that I've seen about that you can lose your salvation, I don't think there's more than, I know there's five major ones that they use. Some of it is context though, but there's not more than 10. On this topic, I don't have an exact number, but there is at least four times that talk about eternal security. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, again, present, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If you're passed from death unto your life, you're going to go back. It doesn't make sense. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How many times have you heard me say hath? Lots. It's over and over again in the Bible. It's making it really clear. And I think God is doing that on purpose. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life. Not eternal life, it's eternals. It's forever. It's not a certain amount of time. It's forever. Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So you're telling me because your sins are stronger than what happened on the cross that you can be plucked out of God's hands? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. John 14:16, and I will pray that the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Very interesting. This verse is what many Muslim apologists will use to say that comforter was Muhammad. But the funny thing is they only stop at that verse, and then the Bible tells us that the comforter is going to live in us. I don't think Muhammad is living in anybody here today. You can go see his tomb in Medina or Mecca or somewhere there. That he may abide with you forever. Now, does once saved, always saved give you a license to sin? I've heard that a lot. And some people have trouble understanding this. You had free will prior to getting saved. Agreed? Do you still have free will after being saved? Absolutely. Can you still sin? You can. You're capable of it. But what happens when you get saved is God changes you, your heart and your mind. He changes you. I know that. I think many of you here know that from personal experience. So does he give you a license to sin? No. It doesn't give you a license to sin. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If my boys do something that I'm not happy with, they're going to be in trouble. I like using the timeout system because Emilio really likes to, you know, run around and get involved in stuff. And when I give him timeout to sit by himself and to make him think what he did, he doesn't like it. But it's good for him. And you know what's interesting? He always hugs me after. And I love you, Daddy. It's almost like he understands that I'm doing this out of love. God does the same thing. If you're not doing right, he's going to chasteneth you. So we got to be careful with that. And we should have a desire, being saved, to please God. I always thought of that growing up. My dad, I never wanted to displease my parents. I never wanted that. I never wanted somebody to say, oh, that kid, he's terrible. And that's his parents? Oh, and I didn't want that. I wanted to please my parents, and we should be the same with God. We want to please him. Paul speaks about a man, and this is a very interesting verse. Paul speaks about a man living in adultery with his mother or stepmother. It just says mother, but we don't know if it's a stepmother or mother. Regardless, it says mother. It's in 1 Corinthians 5. I'm not going to read the whole verse. I'll just read verse number 5. So basically this man is living, Corinth was a wicked city, and this man was living in adultery with his dad's wife, okay? Paul says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. What's he saying here? He's still saved? I mean, he's living in adultery with his mother. He's still saved? Is that what's being said here? The destruction of the flesh, and that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Okay? Sometimes, how did the saying go? Sometimes God will crown you, sometimes God will bring you to heaven and then crown you, or sometimes God is going to crown you and then bring you to heaven. You might sin enough where God's going to say, you know what, you're embarrassing. I'm taking you home early. And that's basically what's being said here. Did I share these ones again? I think I did. I don't want to go through them again. Yes, I doubled up. Okay. So Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. I guess he's trying to get across that Paul's saying nothing is going to take us away from God. Okay. Romans chapter 4, verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit. Don't forget that word earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed, another key word there. Also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. That's a pretty strong seal. If God is going to seal you, you're sealed. There's nothing you can do to get away from that. With that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, there's the word again, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, earnest, from my understanding, is if I wanted to buy a car from Pastor Tricky, and he says it's $10,000, first I'll try to talk him down to $500, but if that doesn't work, he says it's $10,000, I'm going to give him an earnest. So I'm going to give you $1,000, I'm 100% going to get this car, I just need time to get more money. So what that money means, it's not like a deposit, it's here's $1,000, but if I don't come up with it on a certain day that we agree or a certain time, then he keeps it, okay? So it's an earnest. Now, think of this. If the Holy Spirit is our earnest and we can lose our salvation, then that means the Holy Spirit is going to go to hell. Is it not? Because that Holy Spirit is our earnest. If we lose our salvation, we lose our earnest, then the Holy Spirit has to pay. It has to be the payment. I don't think it works like that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 12. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ just before the world began, but is now made manifest in the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality, that means eternal, to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's going to keep it, not us. I can't keep my salvation. I can't go half a day at best without sinning. It's impossible. How many sins? So my question is, how do I lose my salvation? That's what I want to know. I love asking questions. I love asking questions to people. Who, what, where, when, why, how? That's how you get answers. You can lose your salvation. How? How many times do I have to sin? What type of sin? How do I get it back? I don't see many, many good answers, and I don't see scripture backing that up. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Once you're in the family, there's no way out. That's how I see it. Once you're saved, you're saved, okay? Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ, the gospel. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Corinthians 12:12. I know there's a lot of verses, but I'm really trying to grind it in there, okay? So, and I'm trying not to make it dry. If I knew how to do a backflip, I would, but I don't want to break anything. It'd probably be funny if I tried and fell. There'd be. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. Huh. So if your body loses your salvation, doesn't sound good for that verse, right? Does it? Hebrews 6, chapter 4, verse 6. We don't have too many verses to go through. We're almost there. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now, this verse they try to use to say you can lose your salvation. But if we read it carefully, it's not what they think it is. It's actually making a case for once saved, always saved. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the word to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. It's basically saying if you lose your faith, it's impossible to get it back. So it's impossible to lose your salvation because you can't get it back. Look at the first sentence. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. If you're enlightened, that means you know some, right? How can you not know it after? It doesn't make sense. This is what I'm saying. Their position, I don't think, holds any water at all. Not I don't think, I know. And I know based on the scripture, because the scripture is saying otherwise. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And then this is a very scary verse. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That is a terrifying verse. You know how many times I think of that phrase, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, when I think of other people in other religions, especially Catholicism, because, you know, my wife's family's Catholic and my family's Catholic. It's terrifying because there's a lot of them that do good works and they do a lot of good. A lot of good, but it's not what you do. It's what was done. That's the key thing. That's what they don't understand. And it was tough for me because I didn't get it too. I'm like, well, that's it. You're saved. I don't have to go to church. And I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm saying that you're saved. Okay. You should want to go to church and you should be at church. Okay. But it was tough for me coming from a religion of works to think, oh, so you don't do all those things because that's what you're taught all your life. Hebrews 9, verse 26 and 28. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto death. And I always hear this phrase, you only live once. No, you don't. You die once, you can live twice. Right? You can be born of the flesh, and now you can be born of the spirit, but you're going to die. You don't live once, you die once, right? That's the world's saying. John chapter 3, verse 14 and 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have, again the word have, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Over and over and over again, the scripture is clear as day on this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Did you see anywhere in that verse where it said, he that believeth in him and does not sin will lose his salvation? I didn't see it in there. I haven't seen it anywhere in these scriptures. And I'm not cherry picking. There's more verses than what I shared with you. You guys are welcome to look at it yourselves. Go. I would tell you, go check out the verses where they can say you can lose your salvation and look at the context. Okay, and look at it and challenge it. Now, here's another question. If you can lose your salvation, did David lose his salvation? Did King David lose his salvation? It was a murder, adultery, pretty bad stuff. He's done stuff more. He's done sins that most in this room haven't done. Why did he get eternal life and then we can lose it? How about King Saul? Did he lose his salvation? Was he saved? If we look, King Saul was, you know, he had a lot of jealousy, hatred. He was a murderer. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 17, okay, I think most of you are familiar with King Saul and know how he was and the things he's done. But in specific, I'm going to read verse 19. It says, I'll read the whole verse. 1 Samuel 28:17. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake to me, by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to the neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Verse 19, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Saul didn't lose his salvation. And Saul had a great dealing with God. Okay? Saul was not in God's favor. He was not happy with Saul. But he didn't lose his salvation. Okay? Do we change to go to Jesus, or do we go to Jesus to change? That's something we have to think about. So we cannot put our trust in what we don't do to be saved. Okay? We have to put our trust in Christ and what he did for us to be saved. Not works didn't work to be saved. Works is not going to work to not be saved. It's very simple and it's very clear in Scripture. I'm going to share one last verse. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Over and over and over again, the Scripture says, you're saved, I'm going to take you home. If you're terrible, you might be coming home early. So be good, okay? Be good, because God wants us to be here for a while, because there's work to do. He wants us here to witness to the world, right? But we have to, our part, so the two judgment days, judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. Great white throne is for those who are not saved. Judgment seat of Christ is for those who are saved. No one's going to make it there if you can lose your salvation. Who's going to be at that judgment seat? Nobody, because you can lose your salvation. Again, I went 8 hours. That's it. I think it's pretty clear. I wanted to share this with the church. I wanted to help reassure you that, yes, you are saved. You cannot lose your salvation, but it doesn't give us a license to just go out and do all these sinful things. No, that's not how it works. Because remember Jonah, he can do that with us as well. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we're able to look at your word, Lord. And we pray that these verses that we went through today, that it gives us confidence, Lord, that we have eternal life. And that we are sealed and that we will be with you forever, Lord. We pray that we don't take this for granted, Lord, that we use this and help us to push, to show other people the light, Lord, and to witness to other people, to bring them to you, the truth, Lord. We're so in awe in all the things that you have done for us, and especially in this topic, the eternal security. And we don't deserve any of it, Lord, but we know that you are amazing, you're perfect, and you were thinking of us when you were on the cross, Lord. And you were taking that punishment that we so much deserve, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. I want to thank this church, Lord, and all the members here, Lord. I love them very much, Lord, and I thank you for allowing us to serve you, Lord. We pray that you help us. The Holy Spirit moves in our church to continue to reach our loved ones, our friends, acquaintances, our city and our country, Lord, and our world. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.